Hey there, kids. It's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and we got an extra video today, actually, thanks to an amazing sponsor. Actually, this sponsor is one of the major reasons that I was inspired to get started doing this channel 7 years ago. So it's my pleasure and my honor to have them as a sponsor on this channel and to help me keep the lights on in the place.
Hello, kiddies. It's our Grandpa Guignol here, inviting you to listen to Gasp, the graphic audio story podcast. This week, we begin Ratus New Yorkus by Hunter Shea. What do you do when the rats of New York are exposed to a chemical that makes them extremely prolific and very aggressive? I'll give you a hint. You better run! www.graphicaudio.net or wherever fine podcasts are found.
As a child, I grew up in a small southern Missouri town, just north of the Ozark mountain range. There are about 10,000 people living there, and, well, for the most part, they preferred to keep to themselves. It was a weird mentality that you never ran into often in the South. During the summer following my second year of elementary school, all that would change. In this town, there was only one provider for television. It was an old cable provider known as Ozark Cable, which served southern Missouri and northern Arkansas. It only broadcasted 10 channels, and given that satellite wasn't available within 100 miles of my town, I had to make the best of it. In fact, the only children's programming available was Tom and Jerry reruns, which broadcasted out of Little Rock on Saturday mornings. Needless to say, my options for cartoons weren't particularly extraordinary. At the beginning of summer vacation following second grade, my family received a notice from Ozark Cable, as did the other 10,000 residents in town. The statement noted that a new high-tech broadcasting station was to complete construction just north of town. In addition, my town would be receiving 30 new channels, including Nickelodeon. I was excited as any child my age would be. Hell, I would finally be able to watch new cartoons anytime during the week. During the third week of summer vacation, the broadcasting station went operational, and my small town finally entered the digital age. Static no longer interrupted regular programming, show lineups no longer switched without notice, and of course, I finally had Rocco's Modern Life. Overall, I was a pretty happy 7-year-old kid. And that's when it started. I heard it first from one of my friends. Apparently, his parents had been watching late-night entertainment around midnight or 1 in the morning, when sporadic interferences in the broadcast began to occur. Images of an eyeless man flashed on the screen for seconds at a time, accompanied by startlingly loud white noise. Apparently, it was loud enough to wake my friend up. Unsettled, his parents called the cable provider and notified them of the incident. They were subsequently told that it would be looked into. However, the problem persisted. Eventually, it became so frequent and widespread throughout the town that my parents actually prohibited me from watching any television between midnight and dawn. Not that I was interested in doing so anyway. Soon, no one watched any late-night television. There were rumors of television sporadically turning on and displaying this eyeless man, seemingly reaching out towards the viewer. But they were just rumors. One Thursday morning, while my dad was at work, my mom needed to run into town and pick up a prescription from a local pharmacy. Normally, I was forced to accompany her on her daily expeditions into town, but after begging to stay home to watch the new episode of Ren and Stimpy, she surrendered and left to run her errands. After sneaking a few cookies, I sat in front of the TV and waited for the episode to begin. The episode began as usual, with a catchy theme tune and glimpses into the antics of the characters. and then the screen went black. You can only imagine how enraged I was. I had been waiting all week for this new episode, only to have the channel go out. After parading around the TV room in a fit of childhood frustration, I sat in front of the television and I waited for the broadcast to resume. A brief spark of static appeared on the screen, and I sat in eager anticipation for the episode to continue. Images of decomposing and disemboweled bodies filled the screen, accompanied by ear-piercing screams that filled the house. I immediately ran out of the TV room, but not before looking back at the television. A man with bloodied holes for eyes seemed to approach the screen with his livid, decaying arms reaching out. I hid under the dining room table and began to sob hysterically. In my fit of nauseated terror, I vomited on the floor. When my mom came home, she seemed to jump back at the noise that consumed the house and immediately dropped her bags and pulled me out from under the table. I was hysterical, my face was pale with fear. Before I could answer my mother about what was going on, she entered the TV room. The screaming stopped. She unhooked the television. When I first told her what happened, we heard a knock on the door. It was my friend and his parents. He was sobbing and was hiding his face against his mother's shirt. They had experienced the same thing I had. Everyone in town did. Almost immediately, local law enforcement became involved due to the nature of the images. And after a week of no television and sleeping in my parents' bed, the local police department issued a statement. It wasn't as complete as we had wished. About 5 months before the original notice in regards to the new broadcasting center, Ozark Cable bought a piece of land that belonged to a long-abandoned sanatorium and accompanying on-site burial ground. In addition to demolishing the decrepit building, over 200 bodies were exhumed and cremated without warrant to make room for the miles of underground cables. Ozark Cable was immediately fined, and its owner was prosecuted. After 3 months of legal battles, the cable company eventually shut down, with satellite television taking its place soon after. The source of the images remains unknown. It is also unknown how the broadcasts even happened in the first place. Thank you.